When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, Australia have won the first test against the West Indies. A convincing win just before lunch on the third day. Australia bowled out the West Indies for 120 this morning, leaving them just 26 to win. They did it, but not without some late drama. Usman Khawaja struck a vicious blow by Shamar Joseph on the jaw, a bit like a boxer's punch, and he had to retire hurt with the scores level. But Marnus hit the winning runs. Australia go 1-0 up. I'm Menas. I'm joined by Gav Joshi. In the end, Gav, although the West Indies did throw a few punches figuratively, Australia just far too good.
Yeah, far too good. I think, you know, De Silva, he's probably going to, they needed, he was the last sort of recognised batter, and West Indies probably needed him to score, you know, 30, 40, 50. Mind you, I thought the pitch played really well today. I think there was a significant difference even when Australia had to get those runs. But, I mean, bouncing him out, I think we saw him happy hooking yesterday. So Australia was always going to employ that tactic. And unfortunately, Joshua De Silva, I think he'll just need to look at his batting, because when there's two or three men out, if you're continuously hooking, chances are, and you hit the ball in the air, you're going to get out. So that started it, and I think, you know, later on, I think Australia too good.
Yeah, you're right. So Stark took the first wicket of the day. De Silva out hooking, caught by Hazelwood at deep backwards square leg, and then Stark got the next wicket. Azhari Joseph caught behind. Stark went around the wicket and found the outside edge. And then Josh Hazelwood bowled Moti from around the wicket. The left-hander left the ball that Jag backed, and that brought up Josh Hazelwood's 11th five-wicket haul in Test cricket. A fantastic match for him. 5 for 35 in the second innings, 4 for 44 in the first innings, finishing with 9 for 79 in the match. Just phenomenal stuff. And Lyon took the last wicket. Shamar Joseph, who had a brilliant debut, he was stumped for 15. Runs in the first innings, 5-wicket haul, and then neat little contribution at the end there. So Hazelwood with 5, Stark with 2, Lyon with 2, and Green with 1 wicket helped dismiss this West Indian side for just 120. So, Gavin, made me think, you know, I think one of the stories of this test match, and it's been continued all summer, is just how good this trio of fast bowlers, and of course you add Nathan Lyon into it. But it also made me think how long we'll have this trio of quicks together. Mitchell Stark is 34 on January 30th. Hazelwood just turned 33. Cummins will be 31 in March. Next year, we've got India for 5 tests. The season after that, we've got the Ashes. I mean, how long can this trio go on for?
I think Mitchell Stark will, given that he's signed in the IPL, you know, he's won 2 World Cups already for Australia. I think Mitchell Stark will give up white ball cricket, certainly the one day game. I think pretty much up. Even it could be as early as he might have even played the last game. Never know. Maybe it's a Champions Trophy. But I think Mitchell Starc will pretty much focus on the just red ball cricket. I think Pat Cummins as well. I think maybe Champions Trophy just purely for his captaincy. He might hang around. I can't see him going on to the next World Cup. And Hazelwood, I'm not sure. But I think, you know, somewhere if they look down the tunnel, I think that they probably want a swan song against England at home, which is still two summers away. So whether they'll get there, I'm not sure. I can't see all three of them playing all five tests against India next year. I don't think so. I think the game's, you know, just gone beyond that. Unless we have some really quick test matches, we probably have Scotty Boland or one of the other players coming through. But I think another two summers are still in them, mind you, given their age. We've seen that with Hazelwood. You know, one injury can sort of lead to another. But I still think two more Australian summers.
That's interesting. So that'd take Starc up to about 36, Hazelwood up to about 35, Cummins to be a bit younger at 33. And you're right. If you're sort of thinking of a summer to bow out, and I'm not trying to retire them, because someone like Hazelwood, you know, he's got such an economical action. He can probably play till he's, well, you look at Jimmy Anderson, how old he is. So, you know, Hazelwood could go on for a few more years. But I just think we should appreciate them because, as I said, they're getting older. You're right. An injury can just, you know, knock a fast bowler out, and they have a limited time frame. Just on your point about next summer with them playing five tests, I do think Cameron Green and Mitch Marsh in the side does give mm-hmm. them more of a chance of playing,
yep, good point.
If not more, all the tests, most of them.
Yeah, absolutely right point. Just going back, while we were discussing these guys as well, I made a comparison to Jason Gillespie, and I think it was Paddy Cummins. One big difference there, because Paddy Cummins did go past Jason Gillespie, was the form of dismissals. And actually, Jason Gillespie, out of his 259 wickets, 44% were bowled at LBW. That's very high for an Australian bowler. I haven't checked, you know, McGrath, but I thought that compared to Paddy Cummins is 26%. And Josh Hazelwood, who'll probably get past maybe Jason Gillespie in the next test match, is up to 31%. So a huge difference, you know, while we were comparing, that Jason Gillespie probably attacked the stumps a bit more and probably hit more bowlers on the pads, batters on the pads than the Cummins and Hazelwood, who are probably still more traditional and then they get the edges.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, I used to love watching Gillespie bowl, and he did used to bowl a fuller length. He did actually probably get a little bit more swing than Cummins did. So I think he'd have probably pitched the ball up looking for that bit of swing, which you get when you sort of strive for the fuller length. But yeah, I just thought, you know, we should appreciate this trio because you never know how long they're together.
Yeah, and I think we've also got to realise this batting order is good, and sometimes there's been comparison, and I don't think they should be compared to the, you know, the Hayden and the Martins and the Pontings and Gilchrist. And I also reckon that this bowling unit has made the batting look a lot better, because just purely for the fact that even if Australia scrambled 300 in a test match or even 250, this bowling lineup is so good that they'll back them to.
That's what I mean.
And so
the West Indies of old, or when, you know, we had McGrath, Warne and Gillespie, yep, and Lee, they can defend anything.
Oh, yeah. You've spoken, recalled speaking to about, like, you know, Matty Hayden once, and just I think off air, and he said, yeah, well, I could go out and attack, and, you know, it sort of alluded that 2007 World Cup. He said, well, we'll just go hard, because even if we landed, you know, 50, 60 runs short, we knew we had McGrath, we had Lee, we had, you know, Warne. So it was just a bowling. So that gives you a better mindset. Even when India, who I think have a very good bowling lineup, I remember Ravi Shastri saying against Australia, we score 250 and 300. That's all we needed, because we trust our bowling. And you sense Australia's had that mindset for a long time now. And there's not been too many test matches, I reckon, especially in Australia, where if Australia score 300, I don't think the opposition is winning the game. And I think the longevity, as you mentioned, also has got to do a lot with Nathan Lyon. I think he's just he's the glue to those three, because they probably end up bowling more overs, or you know, he's been phenomenal. I don't think we'll probably get that again now for another, you know, after these guys go, maybe it would take another 4 or 5 years of transition, you know, to find a bowling group like that.
Oh, definitely. And just on Mitchell Starc, he'd said previously he wanted to play 100 tests for Australia. So if you look at where he is now, let's have a look exactly where he is. I'll get the thing. But, you know, that would probably fit into, as you say, playing 2 more years and getting how many? He's got 85 test matches. So, yeah, you know, if he plays in the Ashes, they've got no test cricket after the tests in New Zealand. So there's three more, 88.
Yep.
5 next summer against India, 93. 5 in the Ashes, 98. So, and there'll be a week, couple of winter tours in there. So that should get him over 100.
Who was? How many Australian fast bowlers have played 100 test matches? Is it just Glenn McGrath?
Yeah, I think it is. I can't think of any others. Yeah. No, it has to be Glenn McGrath. It has to be.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis Lilly.
No, he didn't play near
100. I think, yeah.
So, so that's the quicks who dominated this match, you know, and the other story was Travis Head with that beautiful 119, started this series so well. And I didn't mention it yesterday, but he went past 3,000 test runs in that innings in just his 46th test match. And Manus Labuschagne went past 4,000 runs in 47 test matches. So the interesting comparison there, one test match more, Manus is 1,000 runs ahead of Head.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite impressive. I mean, I can't believe Manus Labuschagne's played 47 test matches. I thought he'll be around that 40 mark, even Travis Head now. So they're going to be, you know, both around that sort of 29, 30 years of age. So, you know, post Steve Smith era. And that's why I think next 2 summers, you know, likes of Cam Green, is important. We might have to find another person. And just management, and we'll get to this, but if Usman Khawaja, given all the concussion protocols around and given that he retired, I don't think he'll bat for another 3 days. You're lucky the test is finished. You get the weekend off. The pink ball, you know, batting under lights, they'll train under lights at the Gabba. I don't know. I mean, who knows? His jaw, let's hope it's not fractured. But if it is the worst outcome, then we could see Matty Renshaw get a game. I know I'm thinking way far ahead, but...
No, it's a good point. He could be in doubt.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, given the concussion protocols Australia's implied, I mean, you look at Steve Smith when he got hit, you know, and look at all the issues someone like Will Pekoski's had. You know, they can't bat. They don't even allow them to bat in the nets. So then they probably start with a few sort of, you know, even tennis balls or softballs against spinners. You know, next test match is 7 days away, which is still time, but I have a feeling Usman Khawaja could be in big, I won't say big doubt, but he is doubtful starter for that match, especially given it's a pink ball.
No, you're spot on. And for those that haven't seen it, the scores were level. Australia just needed one to win. And the debutante Shamar Joseph bowling around the wicket bowled a quick bouncer, got up, Khawaja hit on the chin, sort of seemed to get under the grill, and there was a bit of blood immediately, and he had to retire hurt, and Manus Labuschagne came out. But it was a heavy knock and concerning scenes, and you know, not in that danger area around the temple, but as you say, it might put him in doubt for the next match. Just back on Travis Head, he was the player of the match in this game. As usual, the batter got it. I thought Hazelwood maybe could have made a pretty good case for it, or Shamar Joseph. But I guess being the only centurion, it's an easy pick for the commentators.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, he probably stood out. And interesting listening to Travis Head yesterday as well, the fact that, you know, the pitch was tricky. He's like, he never got set. It was one of those. And he's like, it shouldn't surprise everyone. I think everyone's still got this memory of the Adelaide Oval being, you know, first 15 overs of the match being is the only time where the bowlers are on par. And then after that, it becomes a flat batting wicket. It's not like that. You see South Australia's always had a lot of seamers as well in the team, right? From, you know, that 5-6 years ago, that Joe Meany, Chad Sayers kind of era. So, look, I think the Adelaide pitch, we talked about it yesterday. Damien Hoff was on air and he mentioned the point that he's got a different sort of grass, and he's probably a little bit disappointed. He put up his hand saying, I probably didn't, you know, get it exactly and probably did a little bit too much or stayed inconsistent. And also the fact that, you know, last, well, I think 5 years now, it's been a pink ball, and to protect the pink ball, they leave that layer of grass on there. So, and the pink ball after about 20 odd overs doesn't do as much. It doesn't seam as much, while the red ball actually still does a lot more because it's still a lot more harder to seam, is still upright. Mm. So that could be the reason why we still felt the bowlers was, you know, the batsmen couldn't dominate even after sort of 25, 30 overs, which is generally the case in Adelaide or with the pink ball, unless, of course, it's twilight.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a bit more of a batter-friendly pitch in this match, especially with this West Indies side. It just exposed their batting lineup. And, yeah, I would have liked to have seen, you know, a pitch where Australia could sort of pile on 500 or 600 and give the fans a bit more than 2.5 days of cricket. But, as you say, the groundskeeper put his hand up and said he didn't quite get it right. And one thing I've learned from, you know, getting close to the groundskeepers at the SCG is that it's pretty difficult, and especially now playing on AFL grounds.
Absolutely. And Damien Hoff, I think he's one of the best curators in business as well. Just one more quick stat. Pat Cummins now has captained Australia 25 times, and his winning percentage is up to 60%, which places him on the third in terms of the winning ratio behind Steve Waugh, who was at 72%, and Ricky Ponting at 62%. So I'll let you have the final say on Pat Cummins' captaincy.
Set me up there. Yeah, he has his good days as skipper. I'll give him that. And he's certainly made me eat my words with all his stunning results. But I do think it would be interesting next year. You know, 5 tests against India will be very, very challenging for this team. India's batting lineup won't roll over like the West Indies did in this test match. So, yeah, a lot to come. But you're right. He's improving every game as skipper. You've got to give him credit for that. He's no skipper's perfect, but he's doing a good job. So I guess that's where we should leave it, Gav. I mean, yep. Australia go 1-0 up in the series as expected.
Absolutely. I think probably the news story coming into the whole week is going to be the fitness of Usman Khawaja. I'm going early. I think he won't play in Brisbane.
I like it. I like a big call. Gav says Khawaja out, Renshaw in. And that's it for our wrap of day 3 from the Adelaide Test. In the end, the West Indies put on a spirited performance. There was certainly some glimmers of hope for the future of West Indies cricket. Young Shamar Joseph taking a wicket with his very first ball, getting Steve Smith, and then 5 for in that innings. Certainly a memory he'll never forget. And that's it for this podcast. We'll be back soon in between this and the next Test match to discuss all the happenings in the Big Bash. And thanks for listening.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.